On a weekly basis, hundreds of people thronged the mystic temple in search of wealth and power. Some were fully initiated as witches of the nether realm, others just partook of the goodies, casually. Among the numerous casual seekers was a young businessman by name Chukwudi. He had seen the temple signpost on his way to church and decided to pay a visit the following Thursday. That morning, he left his shop at Alaba International Market in the care of an apprentice, boarded a bus to Igando, and headed to the temple. When he got there, he stood in front of the building for a few minutes, somewhat hesitant. He tried unsuccessfully to convince himself that he was doing the right thing, yet he went on into the premises. The living room was not empty. Several others came to seek solutions like him. The young man greeted everyone at once and sat down on a sofa next to an elderly man staring into a newspaper through his thick spectacles. Amenatu came into the room, walked up to him and handed him a form. "You are welcome, sir," she greeted. Chukwudi was fascinated. This was not his idea of a witch doctor's shrine. He accepted the form, filled it and gave it back to Amina. He lustfully watched her walk back into another room with his form. In about an hour, Chukwudi was woken from his nap and ushered into an inner room by another pretty girl. The room was quite dark. The red curtains were drawn. The walls were painted black and red alternatively, and decorated with human skulls, dead snakes and other things that Chukwudi could not even describe. Now this was looking more like a shrine.
"Chukwudi, sit down,"
beckoned Jansi.
"Yes, sir. Thank you,"
Chukwudi responded promptly, fidgeting. He sat down opposite Jansi and rested his nervous hands on his laps. He sat with his back straight as if he was trying to be as far away from Jansi as possible.
"So you want to be rich?"
asked Jansi.
"Yes, sir."
"Lord Sesiri can give you any amount of money you want. He can give you power to influence your customers. He can multiply your customers 1,000 times. What do you want Lord Sesiri to do for you?"
"Let my customers multiply,"
the young man answered with a tinge of excitement in his voice. He was now perching towards the edge of his seat.
"Chukwudi, you made a fine choice. But would you like to have the same power that I have?"
No, sir. I just want to be a businessman."
It's alright. I can see that you are afraid.
Sesiri will grant you your heart desires, but you must do something for him. Are you willing to do anything to get wealthy?"
"Yes, sir. I will pay any amount."
"Are you willing to do anything?"
"Yes, sir."
"You shall pay 5,000 naira at the reception as consultation fee, and then on any night of the full moon, we shall provide a newborn baby which we shall bury in front of your shop as a principal requirement of the rituals."
"What?
Are you hard of hearing, young man?"
Say, I can't do that,"
Chukwudi objected, terrified.
"Can't I pay for everything?"
"You must bring the sacrifice yourself."
"Oh, don't you accept animals for rituals?"
"Chukwudi, if you want limitless wealth, you must do what you need to do to get it. Do you understand?"
Jansi's eyes widened as he spoke. He kept them fixed on Chukwudi, waiting for his decision.
I am sorry, sir. I cannot kill somebody for money."
Jansi burst out in laughter that sent a chill down Chukwudi's spine. The young man excused himself and left in a hurry. Later that day, Jansi called Amina into his office to instruct her on a certain assignment.
"Yes, my lord," she answered.
She had moved in with Jansi, unknown to her relatives, since she killed all the members of her immediate family. There were two other witches living with Jansi: Deji, a bus conductor, and Ifioma, a sex worker.
"That boy must be killed. Such weaklings are a nuisance," Jansi said, looking out through the window of his office.
Amina was behind a table near the door.
"Which boy?"
"Chukwudi,"
Jansi yelled, looking back at Amina.
"Yes, my lord. But, pardon my asking, why?"
Amina's tender heart had always interfered with the wickedness that Sesiri had imparted into her.
"You fool," snapped Jansi. "Don't you realize that he could spread word concerning our operations?
Those ignorant mortals do not understand human sacrifice. There will be a stir.
Oh, I understand, my lord.
That same night, in a rocky desert, three crosses stood, and on them were nailed three men. The one in the middle seemed to be Jesus Christ. The one on the right was a repentant thief. And the one on the left was Chukwudi Ekene. Round his cross flew seven hooded witches chanting, "You pierced your savior at the side. You slapped your savior in his face. Who then is there to save your soul? You burn in hell, you filthy wretch." As they chanted, another witch flying on an inclined broom kept whipping Chukwudi. She was not wearing her hood. Chukwudi recognized her. It was the girl who had given him a form at the mystic temple of Lord Sasiri. Chukwudi sprang up from his bed, covered in sweat. It had been a dream. He felt sharp pains on his palms and back. He looked at those parts of his body. Blood trickled from fresh whip marks at his sides. It was about 3:30 a.m., but Chukwudi stayed awake till daybreak, praying. "You failed! You failed!" yelled Yancy. He was talking to Amina, who had made an attempt on Chukudi's life from his temple.
Forgive me, my lord,"
she pleaded, crying.
"You weak fool! You will ascend to Chitanam tonight."
At that, Yancy severed her head from her shoulders by crossing his arms and tearing her neck apart with his bare hands. Blood splattered all over the underground temple. Deji and Ifeoma watched in great fear. Amina's body dropped to the floor while Yancy held her lifeless head up for a few seconds before dropping it.
"Deji,"
Yancy called.
"My lord."
"The witches of Tartaros fly tonight."
"Ifeoma."
"My lord," answered the pretty whore, her voice trembling.
Kill Chukwudi.
Whatever you have to do,
kill Chukwudi."
"Yes, my lord,"
Ifeoma answered and then disappeared. Chukwudi had partially gotten over his nightmare. That morning, he had visited his pastor, who prayed for him and assured him that everything was alright. Business went on as usual. His shop was among the hundreds that made up the large Alaba International Market. It was not very large, but he managed to make good money selling calculators, radio sets, Walkmans, Discmans and the like in the 10x4 foot space. Once in a while, someone came by and asked for the price of one thing or the other, bargaining with Chukwudi himself, although there was a boy, Osita, who worked for him. However, when someone really wanted to buy something, Chukwudi would instruct his boy to get it. Chukwudi noticed a young, slender lady coming closer and closer along his line. He stared. She was chocolate-skinned and very pretty. She wore a light blue sleeveless top, which was short enough to expose her belly button, and a pair of jeans trousers. Her hair was short, curly, and dyed brown. Her face was densely made up, and she wore large round earrings. Her nails were polished brown, and she walked with such grace. Chukwudi thought for a moment that he had seen her somewhere.
"Good afternoon," she greeted with a soft voice.
"Yes, you are welcome,"
answered Chukwudi, smiling from ear to ear.
"You sell Walkmans here, right?"
"Yes. Which brand do you want? We have Panasonic, Sony.
"Osita, I beg, bring original Sony Walkman for this fine girl."
The girl laughed.
"So you also have the fake one?"
No. I sell only original electronics."
"Let me test it,"
the lady requested as she collected the gadget from Osita. She opened it, slotted in a cassette, fixed the earphones in her ears, and did a little dance. Chukwudi was aflame with lust.
"It is all right. How much is it?"
5,000 naira only."
The girl objected, touching Chukudi's shoulder with the tip of her fingers.
"That is the price, though, you know. It is a genuine product."
Ifeoma brought out 3,000 naira and offered it to him with a certain look on her face. Chukwudi was overwhelmed, as if he had been hypnotized by the sorcerer. He counted the money.
"Okay, just add 500 naira. Hey, this guy, you like money, yo.
Your wife must be enjoying."
Ifeoma caressed his left arm. Chukwudi laughed heartily.
"I don't get wife,
eh? a rich, handsome man like you, then you must have many girlfriends. Chukwudi laughed again. As other customers came, he referred them to Osita, who was by this time overwhelmed. "Have it," said Ifeoma, handing some more money over to him. Chukwudi did not bother counting the money. "Please, what is your name?"
"Ifeoma."
"I would like to know you better."
Ifeoma laughed and laughed before replying.
I don't mind. So where do you stay?"
No. Let me come to your place.
My parents would disturb us."
Okay. I'll take you out."
Ifeoma gave him an address that same day. Much later on, Chukwudi took the stranger to a nightclub where he paid for a private room. Ifeoma left that nightclub alone at about 11 p.m. In the morning, the mutilated body of the young man was found on the blood-stained bed in that room. His face and skin had been mauled so thoroughly that it was not possible to recognize him. And the stench, unbearable. Ifeoma made it on time for that night's meeting at the temple pertaining to Amene's departure to the realm of Chittanam. By some witchcraft, the underground temple was large enough to accommodate almost 100 witches. It was lit up with naked flames burning in cups attached to the walls. The walls were painted red and black alternately, decorated with skulls, snakes and images and other drawings and symbols, the most prominent being the large pentagram on the platform at the front of the hall, a replica of the nether realm. Amenatu's body lay on a cuboidal bed-like altar covered with red cloth.
"May the spirits of the nether realm assemble with us,"
prayed Shansi.
"And may Lord Sasiri himself be with us,"
echoed the congregation.
"May our hearts unite with wickedness, and may every semblance of love in us die. May power arise from within our spirits as we feast on Sasiri's gifts of flesh and blood. We shall arise with power from the table of the Lord."
At this, a few hooded witches began passing small trays around and pouring flesh and blood in them from wooden pitchers. Jansi began to speak.
"One of us has ascended to Lord Chittanam, and we must see to it that at least the blood of 1,000 mortals accompany her."
This was followed by some murmuring which Jansi ignored.
"A feast will be held in Lord Sasiri's court in her honor in 3 days. By that time, we must have filled Lord Sasiri's blood tank. Each of you must present the blood of 12 mortals or more. The most faithful witch will be rewarded in Sasiri's court. Is that clear?"
Yes, Lord,
echoed the congregation.
"Remain faithful to Lord Sasiri.
We will serve no other.
The meeting continued throughout the night with reports, assignments, and worship until about 4 a.m. when each returned to his or her home. The feast at Sasiri's court held successfully as scheduled. A certain Dr. Sylvester Fleming was honored as the most faithful, having presented the blood of 32 people whom he had killed at the hospital he owned, in obedience to Jansi's demands. At this meeting, Jansi received permission to publish more humane aspects of the practices and teachings of the Black Witches of Tartaros. Thus, on his return, he published a small booklet, The Path to Power.